rest of the story. Joseph's tragic illness was insidious in its onset, like some wary predator patiently stalking him from the shadows. So quietly did it creep up on him, in fact, that what may have been its first symptoms may also have been utterly unrelated. For example, Joseph had fallen mysteriously ill while in the army. Doctors had feared but had never confirmed tuberculosis. Was that perhaps the edge of the dark shadow that one day would engulf him? For indeed, the years that followed were plagued by insomnia, depression. And then after more than a dozen years had passed, Joseph grew forgetful, alarmingly so at times. And then came the tragic accident. He was in Paris on business when the taxicab in which he was riding collided with another cab. A couple of teeth were knocked out. There were a number of bumps and bruises. But whatever the accident's effect on what ailed Joseph otherwise, undoubtedly it did him no good, because from then on his health began to deteriorate noticeably. One doctor called it aphasia. Another doctor called it ataxia. This is the rest of the story. There was nothing at all wrong with the thinking part of Joseph's mind. It was the doing part that was slipping away. His thoughts were as lucid as ever, perhaps even more so, it seemed at times, but when it came to expressing those thoughts, everything went blank. A letter of 50 words, for example, once took him 8 days to write. He knew what he wanted to say. He simply could not commit it to the page. And after a while, coordinating his body became as difficult as coordinating his thoughts. And then December 17, a sudden turn for the worse. Joseph was promptly hospitalized. The renowned French neurosurgeon, Dr. Clovis Vincent, decided to operate. Only hours after the delicate brain surgery, Joseph called for his brother and then lapsed into a coma from which he never awakened. He died several days later on the morning of December 28, 1937. No tumor was found during the surgery, only an obstructed blood vessel and a litany of unanswered questions. Joseph had known that he would never recover from whatever it was that hunted him down. Often when asked what he was doing, he would say, "I'm waiting." Yet the tragedy for the rest of us lies in what Joseph might have been doing during the last 5 years of his life. For the great torment of that unproductive, interminable time was the music that whirled and danced in Joseph's mind, soaring strains and haunting refrains from an orchestra that only he could hear, playing melodies and harmonies that only he knew, which persistently vanished whenever he attempted to write them down or sing them or play them on the piano. For the Joseph the world knows, Joseph Maurice Ravel is remembered along with Claude Debussy as one of the two most important composers in French history, as creator of the playful Godot and the menacing Gaspard de la Nuit and the lyrical Valois and the breathtaking Bolero. Of course you know Ravel's Bolero. But now you and I will never forget that during the years which might have produced Ravel's most mature and most significant music, that very music remained a prisoner in the master's brilliant brain, fully developed, fully composed, never to be shared. An untold wealth of unsung songs and symphonies submerged in a sea of silence. Now you know the rest of the story.